full schedule, full time. Sometimes reading a letter, sometimes some pastimes. I was recently reading about Srila Prabhupada's program he had here in Chaupati, one of the first programs he had here, on the beach, Chaupati Beach. He had a program, 1970, I think, that program. Some of you might remember who were here at that time, I don't know. And there were many Mayavadis who gave lectures. And the devotees were waiting until Prabhupada, who was speaking at the last, he would speak at the end. So finally it was Prabhupada's turn to speak, and he sat down to speak, and then he said to the devotees, chant, that's kirtan. So all the devotees did a big kirtan. And there were about 10,000 people, I think, on the beach. So at one point the devotees jumped from the stage into the beach, in the middle of the people. And they're chanting heavy kirtan. All the people getting up, they're all chanting. Some are crying, some are in ecstasy. Reporters, policemen, everyone is chanting in ecstasy here in Chaupati Beach. So Chaupati is very famous. Then Prabhupada gave a lecture in English. He gave a lecture. And while the kirtan was going, all the Mayavadis got up and left. So the kirtan has that effect that the Mayavadis don't like it, so they all left. So that was a nice part, you know. And people, so many people appreciated the kirtan here in Chaupati, you know. I also read a letter. Let's read a letter from to Mr. Chatterjee. Dr. Chatterjee, evidently he is proposing to Prabhupada some higher educational institute. He is proposing this to Prabhupada. This is a letter in 1976. This is approximately 38 years ago. Dear Dr. Chatterjee, as opposed to other letters he would send to disciples, here he's saying, where he said, please accept my blessings. Here is, please accept my greetings, he's saying. I am in due receipt of your letter dated 6th and have noted the contents. I have no objection to your proposal. And I can finance this proposal also. He thought it had such merit that he would actually give money for it. But I'm afraid there will be hardly any students. That is the difficulty. I have seen in foreign countries that practically no students join high philosophical and scientific classes. People nowadays are only interested in money-earning philosophy. Nobody goes to the philosophical classes in universities. A similar institute was imagined by my godbrother Ban Maharaj in Vrindavan, but it has not become very successful. There are many difficulties in the line, but I like the idea. He liked the idea. Therefore, if some practical solution can be made, we can discuss personally, but I appreciate your idea. The only difficulty I'm feeling is whether we can get some sufficient students. Some of my disciples who are PhDs in science, they are also attempting our institution in Boston, USA, but I'm still doubtful how far they'll be successful on account of scarcity of students. It is said in the Kali Yuga, every man is on the standard of Shudra, and the curriculum suggested by you is meant for the Brahmin. That is the difficulty. We are attempting one Gurukul in Vrindavan, and we have already begun building to train children from the very beginning of life, as is advised by Prahlad Maharaj, Kaumara Charet Pragyo, Dharmang Bha Gavatangiha, Durlabam Manusham Janma Tad Ap Yadruvam Artadam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.6.1. But there is also difficulty of getting students because the parents and the guardians are not interested. Before going to America, I approached many respectable friends for giving me at least one boy from each family to be trained up in this line of self-realization, but I was not successful. The parents had no interest. The same difficulty of Shudra mentality. Anyway, We are attempting again this Gurugul program. So why not begin from this small endeavor and gradually develop to the ideal university? On the whole, if you can arrange such university, there will be no financial difficulty. So I think if you kindly begin from this Gurukul attempt and then develop to the international university, that will be very practical. Of course, we have to have independent private university because this government is not interested according to Vedic ideology. Ban Maharaj tried for the last 40 years to make a Vaishnav university recognized by the government, but he failed. I am here up to 8th of October, but I don't think it will be possible for us to meet. When I go to Calcutta, I will let you know the exact date, hoping this meets you in good health. Your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Jai Prabhupada. Interesting. Interesting. Prabhupada's advice. Now things are different, perhaps. We are more educated persons. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from a book, Gauranga, The Golden Avatar. This is a compilation from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. So different chapters of reading. This chapter is called Yamaraj Shakt at Jagai Madai's Deliverance. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is the pastime of Jagai and Madai being delivered. Jagai and Madai were like the special top criminals in the universe. They were born Brahmins in a Brahminical family, and they knew the scriptures. So they personally researched the scriptures to see what are all the worst sins a person can do. They specifically and consciously tried to do all the sins on the list. If to beat up a helpless person was more sinful, then they would go and find the helpless person and beat him up. If having sex with the guru's wife or the Brahmin's wife was worse, then they would go and rape some Brahmin's wife. They did it specifically like a checklist. Whatever were the worst sins they could do, they were trying to do all of them. This was ridiculing Yamaraj and creating a whole lot of karma. And apparently, Yamaraj had special architects in the hellish planets that were making a custom-made hell for them, where they could undergo severe punishment because they were doing super sinful activities. Then suddenly, Jagai and Madai were delivered by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and all their sins were forgiven. So everybody was amazed. Yamaraj's assistants had written down all their bad activities, and it took something like 27 different warehouses to store the details of all the karma they had done. It was unbelievable what they were doing. When he heard about this, Yamaraj fainted. So his assistants were fanning him, trying to revive him, but he was not coming back to consciousness. Then Lord Shiva happened to come along. They told Lord Shiva what happened to Yamaraj. They told him that Jagai and Madai were delivered, and when they told Yamaraj he fainted, it was such a shock. Lord Shiva told them, Yamaraj is not in shock. He is in ecstasy. He was so overwhelmed with love of Krishna, overwhelmed at how Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, that such sinful people started to chant the holy name and become devotees and get freed from all their sins, that he became ecstatic. He is in trance. That's why your efforts to revive him are not working. you must chant Hare Krishna in his ears. So they started to chant Hare Krishna. Then in Yamaloka, all these employees, Yamadutas and accountants, were having a big kirtan to revive Yamaraj. Finally, he came back to consciousness and looked around at everybody having a big kirtan, celebrating how Lord Chaitanya is delivering the fallen souls. By Lord Chaitanya's mercy, there is much less work now for the Yamadutas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. We'll talk a little bit later on about the Yamadutas. So, Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 57, Text 1. Do you read the introduction, usually? 9, niet. Okay. Shri Bhadaraya Niruvacha Vigyatarto Api Govindo Dagdhan Akarnya Pandavan Kunting Cha Kulya Karane Saha Ramo Yayao Kurun Shri Bhadaraya Niruvacha Vigyartarto Pigovindo Dagdhana Karnya Pandavan Kunting Chakulya Karane Saharamo Yayakurun Shri Bhadaraya Niruvacha Vigyartarto Pigovindo Dagdhana Karnya Pandavan Kunting Cha Kulya Karane Saharamo Yayau Karun Shri Bhadaraya Niruvacha Vigyartarto Pigovindo Dagdhana Karnya Pandavan Kunting Chat Kulya Karane Saharamo Yayau Kurun. Ladies. Shri Bhadarayani Uvacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami, the son of Bhadarayana, said, Vigyata, aware, Artha, of the facts, Api, although, Govinda, Lord Krishna, Dagdhan, burned to death. Akarnya, hearing. Pandavan, the sons of Pandu. Kunti, their mother. Kunti, cha, and. Kulya, family obligations. Karane, to carry out. Saharama, together with Lord Balaram. Yayao, went. Kurun, to the kingdom of the Kurus. Translation. Sri Bhadarayani said, although Lord Govinda was fully aware of what had actually occurred, when he heard reports that the Pandavas and Queen Kunti had burned to death, he went with Lord Balaram to the kingdom of the Kurus to fulfill the family obligations expected of him. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although sometimes they are taking from the Krishna book directly, so it's not always... The Lord was quite aware that the Pandavas had escaped the assassination plot of Duryodhana, although the world heard the false news that the Pandavas and their mother had perished in the fire. That's all. That's the purport. Short and sweet. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Swapadantikam Bandehang Shri Guru Shri Yatapadakamalang Shri Gurum Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Bitang Tang Sajivam Sadhoitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Bitangscha He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dinabhandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshvare Vritabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Potitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Mukunkaroti vachalam pungung langete yakripatam hambande, shigurum dinatarinam paramanandavanam, shichetani ishwaram. Hariyam tatsat. Shri Bhadarayanir uvacha, Vigyartarto Pigovindo, Dogdhan Akarnya Pandavan, Kuntincha Kulya Karane, Saharamo Yaya Kurun. Translation, please repeat. Sri Bhadarayani said, although Lord Govinda was fully aware of what had actually occurred, when he heard reports that the Pandavas and Queen Kunti had burned to death, he went with Lord Balaram to the kingdom of the Kurus to fulfill the family obligations expected of him. So, murder, intrigue, very interesting things happening. Rumors, so many things. And here again, news of the assassination of the Pandavas. Very, very coming to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is very interesting. Of course, you have listened to the pastimes concerning the Shyamantaka jewel, but it's not finished, as you see on the title there. It's not finished yet, the drama, the intrigue concerning the Shyamantaka jewel, you know. Where Krishna became an investigator and investigated the, what, you know, this CSI, all these programs they have, CSI and forensic work. So Krishna went to find out who had murdered the brother of Satyajit, whose name was Prasena. Prasena. So Krishna went with his forensic team to find out, because there were so many rumors being circulating in the capital. They were saying, "Oh, what has Krishna done?" You know? It's a little intriguing, though, how the members of the Yadu dynasty, who were all devotees, how they were spreading rumors about Krishna. Isn't that interesting? It must be they were helping with his pastimes. I don't know. So Krishna finds evidence. Justice means you have to have evidence. We also call evidence praman, proof. And as in scholarly circles, you show proof of something to make some point. So first, they found Prasena. They found him killed, yes? But they didn't see a lion. They found him dead, but without any weapon, he was killed. So they assumed, of course, it was a lion. Then they found Krishna, then further went, following leads, maybe blood trails, who knows, finds the lion. And the lion has been killed also. The lion has also been killed without a weapon. This is even more intriguing. And then they come on this big, huge tunnel. And it's very dark inside. So the entourage, Krishna's entourage, they look and they say, "Oh, this is very dangerous." So Krishna says, he sees that they're afraid. So he says, "You stay, wait here. I'll go in and solve the problem." So he goes in. And then, as you know, he encounters Jambavan, who must have been there many, many years, because he's from Lord Ramachandra's time, servant of Lord Ramachandra. And they begin a fight over the jewel that he found there. He was found there. The fight goes on for 28 days, exactly. Then, Jambavan has a realization that this is the same Supreme Lord that I have been worshiping as Lord Ramachandra. He has come now. And so Srila Prabhupada explains why this happened, why he was able to realize that this was not a great demigod, this was actually the Supreme Personality of God. Does anybody know why? Why did Jambavan realize that this was the Supreme Personality of God? Because of his power? Because he was overpowering him? No, it's good. But what did Jambavan do to make him eligible to be able to see Krishna? No, with Krishna. What was he doing with Krishna? This is explained in the Krishna book, in this pastime, by Srila Prabhupada. He became eligible because during 28 days, he was engaging in devotional service. This was his service he was doing, fighting with Krishna. So as a result of this service, he was able to understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Prabhupada explains. Interesting. Through bhakti, we can understand Krishna. So yesterday was also explained how Krishna was not so interested in the jewel. Rather, he was interested in Satyabhama because she was a great devotee. So Krishna is interested in bhakti. He's not so much interested in material offerings. So here is Krishna investigating, and through these pastimes he is coming forward and showing, here is the jewel, here is this, here is that. He is showing evidence to corroborate his position that it was not him who did this, you know. Who stole the jewel? Because he was accused falsely. There are some who quote Srila Bhaktisiddhanta as saying that because Krishna looked at the moon during Chaturthi day, therefore he was falsely accused. That is uncorroborated thing I've heard, but I just wanted to throw it out to you. Which is very interesting. Although Krishna is never influenced by anything. So, here was a system of judgment. I'm particularly concerned with these judgment cases because of my service as the director of the ISKCON Dispute Resolution Office, which is our justice, ISKCON justice, formal court system. So we have our investigators and our judges in our system. So for those of you who are interested in applying for a job at the IDRO, those who have criminology degrees will be accepted. What other case was there in the Bhagavatam, where there was some judgment being made, and there's some question about jurisdiction, and like that? Anybody remember? Sixth canto? Ajamil? Yes. Ajamil. They had, the Yamadutas had come to take Ajamil. They had not yet taken him from his body, but they had lassoed him, they had bound his subtle body, and they were taking it out. They were about to take it out, but they didn't. It's there explained also that navedhagatam antakam navedaham veda, he was not knowing, similar to Satyajit, he was not knowing his time was his finish was coming, his death was coming. He did not know. But somehow or other, he chanted the names of the Lord, thinking of his son. Anyway, because he chanted the names, he was stopped by the Vishnadutas. So here's what we call a jurisdictional dispute. And the Vishnadutas asked, what is your evidence that this person is sinful? And why should he be punished? Because Krishna in this chapter, he also goes looking to punish someone. I won't reveal all the details for those who are expecting, but he will also look for punish someone. You know. So they ask the Yamadutas, who is punishable? And they said, anyone who's engaged in karmic activities, automatically, they are punishable. Because they get reactions for whatever they do. And the modes of material nature force them to act sinfully. So everyone is subject to Yamaraj's control. Because they were devotees of Yamaraj. But also, in their explanation, they explain the nature of the Supreme Lord, which is very interesting. And they were asked, what witnesses do you have? And they said, yes, the witnesses are sunlight, moon, supersoul, darkness even, they gave these are different witnesses of nature that have witnessed this activity. Of course, Yamaraj is explained in that chapter that he is, because he is connected to the Supersoul directly, he can see the past, present, and future activities of the living entities. That's the facility he's given. He's almost omnipresent in that way. He can see. You know, it's like having a, what is it, CCTV, closed circuit TV everywhere. You know, you can see he's everything. So there's nowhere to hide. You know. So Ajamil, so then they explained, they were giving arguments why Ajamil was under their jurisdiction. And the Vishnadutas then started speaking and they said, how you can unjustly say that you have jurisdiction over a sinless person. Now, Ajamil, although he was born a pure, first-class Brahmin, if you see sometimes an ideal devotee, he's so effulgent, he's very enthusiastic, he's young, he's clean, that's the way Ajamil was. Versed in the Vedic scriptures. More than any of us here. He was like a perfect example, Brahmin. His family, Brahmin, like that. And he was married. He had a very, very beautiful young wife. And his parents were wealthy. And he received an inheritance also from his family. Then in one moment he became degraded, attached to some other woman, and he became degraded and became... Then he became... He used all his inheritance, his money, everything gone quickly. Because the woman also had children. The prostitute, she had children. And he had to take care of... he got a lot of baggage, let's say. So quickly his inheritance was gone. So what did he do? He started having dice games to cheat people. He would con people. He became a big rascal. He would become a thief and a rascal and so many things. Just to get, if you came near him, he would steal your money. So this was Ajamil. He was a very bad person. So somehow or other, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, he was able to remember the Lord at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti. One should remember Narayan at the time of death. So the Yamadutas are explaining to the Vishnudutas are explaining to the Yamadutas, this person chanted the Lord's names. He has cleaned, he's been cleansed of sins millions of lifetimes. So how are you taking a sinless person? That was their argument. Sometimes you have a prosecutor and then you have a defense attorney. So they were defending. Of course, they were very powerful. Even the Yamadutas looked at them because they had attained Sarupya Mukhya. They were same features as Vishnu. They're very beautiful. And so they were, in this way, they were giving the line as far as the praman, as far as proof of why Ajamil should not be taken. No. And Ajamil actually went back, interesting, to his purity that he had had when he was young. And more so, he became a devotee, practically speaking, at that time, just by chanting the Lord's holy name. Of course, the lesson is that the Lord's holy name is so powerful that it can mitigate these very dangerous destiny that he was, a very dangerous path he was on. In this chapter in the Bhagavatam, there are also very nice purports for brahmacharis, which because he was at one point a very Paka Brahmachari. So Prabhupada gives some very nice lessons for brahmacharis in that chapter, those of you who want to continue as a brahmachari. So the when we think of spiritual knowledge, we talk about praman or proofs. Even whatever we do in life, we justify it by some reasoning. Even criminals, serial killers and others, they have some justification why they do something. So praman, this idea of praman, is there everywhere. And we can see now, for instance, in the GBC, we are going over different topics and everyone presents different proofs and like that. One thing is whether Advaita Acharya has a beard or not is one controversy. Then there's some subject about women in Krishna consciousness is also there. The origin of the jiva is another point. So praman is presented in different ways to prove one's point. And then it is weighed. There's a weighing process. You weigh these things. Which is more heavier? If you saw this lady justice, you know, she has a scale in her hands. So justice means to weigh things. You know, so you weigh something to see what is the truth. To come to truth. Now, there's an interesting point in the Narada Bhakta Sutra. Is anybody expert at the Narada Bhakta Sutra? Here? No? 59, verse 59. You see, if you get my iPod. Where's my iPod? Get some information. Narada Bhakta Sutra speaks about praman. And I'd like to quote this for you. It's very interesting. Pramanantarasyanupekshaktvat svayang pramanatvat. That's the sutra. The reason devotional service is the easiest of all spiritual processes is that it does not depend on any other authority for its validity, being itself the standard of authority. So, that means that bhakti does not need any proof because it is experienced by the practitioner. Just like someone in earlier verses of this of the sutras, it is explained that when one eats and he's satisfied, that is proof that he has taken food. So the proof of bhakti is in experiencing it like that. It does not need any other type of praman. Of course, here, this is, of course, these verses were purported by Satsarupa Das Goswami. Prabhupada only translated up to the 13 verses. But he mentions here about, which I'd like to quote for you, which is interesting. Praman means proof. Vaishnava philosophers condense all the different types of pramans into three: pratyaksha, anuman, and shabda. Pratyaksha means direct evidence by the senses. But since the senses are imperfect, pratyaksha often has to be corrected by higher knowledge. Just like if you have evidence of people witnessing something, everyone will give some different account. So it is not so. And now they're finding that many people who are put in jail are innocent, actually, because the witnesses were not correct. Anuman refers to deductive and inductive logic, which depends on the validity of its premises and reasons, and so cannot prove anything with final certainty. Shabda means receiving knowledge from authoritative sources. Vedic knowledge is Shabda Brahma, Shabda Praman. This is particularly applicable to transcendental subject matter, which cannot be understood by the empirical and theorizing methods. Even in ordinary affairs, there are many things we have to accept on authority. We can learn the identity of our father from our mother, the only foolproof authority. Aside from the mother, there is no way to know for sure who our father is. Now they have DNA. But to take DNA tests from every man is very difficult. They find who your father is. It is the mother who will say, oh, take DNA from this person. When the source of information is perfect, as in Vedic knowledge, then Shabda Praman or Shabda Brahman becomes the ultimate proof. As Srila Prabhupada states, as far as the soul's existence is concerned, no one can establish his existence experimentally beyond the proof of Shruti or Vedic wisdom. That's from a Bhagavad Gita 2.25 purport, he says, which is very interesting. So here we begin a process where Krishna, thank you, Narada Bhakta Sutra, Krishna and Balaram will be going to support their family members, supposedly, although it's explained in this verse that they already know what's going on. Krishna and Balaram are the super soul. They already know what is happening, but they are participating in their lila, in their pastimes, and to show also their support. For those devotees who are missing the Pandavas, as will be explained, different kurus are there, Bhishma and others, who are very much affected by this hearing about other devotees. Just like we were listening in the morning, some devotees had some accident or something. We were very concerned, and we became sad and concerned about these devotees. You know, so Krishna went to support these feelings of others, although they knew that the Pandavas had not were okay. In part, Vidura was making arrangements that they be they escaped the fire. So I don't know if Krishna, he probably knew directly or indirectly this, but Krishna also explains that my devotee will not never be vanquished, he says in the Bhagavad Gita. No? So, in this way, if one can understand the pastimes of the Lord and meditate on His presence in any dangerous situation, this world is a dangerous world, so we will be put into danger at many times in our lifetime, or we will see some dangerous situation. So many devotees have had accidents, or you see an accident, something happens where you will be put into danger. So how you deal with that? Prabhupada says a devotee, he is trained to chant Hare Krishna at a moment of danger. That is his training. He will, if there's some accident comes, Prabhupada says, he will immediately chant Hare Krishna and think of Krishna. One devotee asked Prabhupada, what happens if I can't remember Krishna? And Prabhupada said, don't worry, Krishna will remember you at that time. So it was nice. So if you engage in devotional service to Krishna, Krishna will protect you from so many different dangerous situations that will come in this material world. You will see them unfold before you, or you will participate in them directly. Many of you have already had the experiences, you know. But that is the nature of this material world. So if we depend fully on Krishna and His holy names, try to not maintain material attachments, as the offenses say, then we will have success if we're serious devotees. So the drama will continue. Stay tuned to the Srimad Bhagavatam class to hear more about Krishna's pastimes. We hear the pastimes, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, then we repeat them. And we can remember them. What did you hear? What did you say? This way we can remember. Otherwise, we don't remember. Try to train yourself to remember. Any questions, comments, corrections? Got a few minutes. Yes, the devotee who did not raise his hand. Here's one. Give him the microphone.
Hare Krishna. Is it on?
Name?
I'm Bhakta Alex.
Bhakta Alex Kijai.
Thank you for your wonderful class.
From?
From New York.
New York, New York. I'm also from New York.
So I was wondering, in the beginning you mentioned about the story of Jambavan a little bit. Yeah. How because of his service to Krishna he was able to understand Krishna. But my conception was that in his mind he wasn't doing service to Krishna. He was angry and he was fearful of the situation that Krishna was putting him in. And so, you know, my conception was that Krishna doesn't necessarily accept the physical aspect of our service. He accepts our consciousness and the mood that we do it. So I was wondering how still his service registered as qualifying him to understand Krishna.
Well, there's a certain service called agyata sukriti. Without knowledge, you get the benefit of service. Was Jambavan doing the service of fighting with Krishna? He was. So, sometimes someone may buy a book on Sankirtan. He may not know anything about Krishna, but he's doing the service of buying a book. And he gets benefit by it. Even though he may not realize, or his consciousness is not the best. Of course, we teach that afterwards, after you come to devotional service, where you... what's the word? You make a commitment. Then you go to another stage whereby you appreciate pure devotional service. And that it should be free from any personal desires like that. So then you go to the next stage. Of course, in the case of Jambavan, who he is personally associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it was over 28 days. That's a long fight, you know. You know, you can imagine how it was. And Krishna was simply enjoying. I imagine also that Jambavan was noticing that Krishna was enjoying the fighting. And this made him think, well, although he was getting very tired, he saw that Krishna was enjoying it. And maybe he was thinking... Krishna has, I am doing the service to him. He was, and he's enjoying it. So sometimes when we try to serve someone and they're very pleased by the service, it's also to us very gratifying, you know? Oh, you feel very nice that you've served. That's also a result of devotional service, you know, indirect result. Is that all right? Dr. Alex from New York. Where in New York?
Manhattan.
Manhattan. Okay. I'm a Queens boy. From Queens. We used to call Manhattan the city. That's the city. It was all the buildings, you know. Any other question, comments? We have minus 2 minutes. But everyone took prasadam, right? Brahmacharis all took prasadam. Yeah? Satisfied. You know why they do that? You know why we have you take prasadam before? This way, no questions. Everyone is full, satisfied. He has no questions. You think because... No, there's a reason behind it. No other questions. Wow. Only Bhakta Alex from New York, our imported devotee. Okay. Thank you very much for being tolerant with me. Hopefully we'll be able to... I'm a little jet-lagged, so I'm not yet lucid, as we say. So please pardon my inability to give a normally fired up class. So I'm still in South America. We're like, it's 8.5 hours difference. So now it's 12:30, 12:40 at night. Right now. So I should be sleeping. I was going to close. Now there's a new study that says if you close your eyes, it helps in your memory. Do you know that? New study. Closing your eyes. So I was going to do this, but I would have gone to sleep, so I didn't do it. But there's a new study like that. Sometimes Prabhupada closes his eyes and to Prabhupada, all glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.